I'm Ron Algar Watt, and this is More Bits. As promised, Ed Casey and I recorded a follow-up to our apparently popular discussion about how miserable we both are. This time we discuss a further mental illness that we share, attention deficit disorder.
I almost want to do a follow-up to our depression thing, but then I don't.
We can. I mean, I'm honestly like, I don't really know like what, if anything has changed in my life, but I'm in a much better place than I think I was, you know, either when we did that or either when we decided to do that, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't had any like, you know, scary lows recently, he said, knocking on wood.
Well, we might touch base about that real quick. I mean,
yeah, sure, we can.
Are you better or are you just not worse?
Wow. Well, now you're going to get me all introspective, and that's where the whole thing falls apart.
Well, see, I'm used to that number rating thing. I'm used to, did you have threes? Did you have fours? And I forget not everyone does that.
Right. Not everyone has a number system. Mm-hmm. Literally organizing papers on my desk as we're talking. This is horrible. Okay, putting it down. I'm better-ish, maybe. I don't know. I'm not worse. That's a definite. And I think I've been holding, you know, steady at maybe a little below the line, which I guess is not like the best place in the world to be, but I'm not like having those, you know, I'm not having the roller coaster moments of just teetering off the cliff. So I don't know. I'll take it for now.
That's good. I didn't get the impression last time we talked that you were below the line, actually.
I don't remember, to tell you the truth.
I would have remembered that just because, you know, the general tone of the talk, I think, would have been different had I known.
Yeah,
you were going
probably
through something at that point.
Probably.
This is the time I really need to look out for, because last year I did Emerald City, which is, you know, a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
My whole year builds up to that. It's, you know, 2 days where I can feel like, I mean, on a very small scale, I can feel like a rock star. Everything's
sure.
just great. It's all about me. And I get in front of people and then it's over. And last year there was this enormous crash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried that's going to happen this year.
And naturally being, you know, worried about it and anticipating it won't make it, you know, worse. I don't know about making it worse, but it'll make you much more, for me anyway, it would make me much more like, I guess just twitchy about the whole thing, you know, where like every time I started to feel a little something, I would be like, oh, holy shit, here it comes.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But I mean, I was a lot more aware of it. And I don't know if it's the meds or psychosomatic or what, but mm-hmm. I had some really great stuff happen last weekend. It was, I mean, fantastic. Everything went the way I wanted it to. And I never, like, you know, I rate everything from 1 to 5. I said that last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had any fives, which is good. I didn't have any crazy manic, oh my God, everything's great, I'm going to be great forever. It was hovering around a nice, healthy 4.
Nice.
And then I got back and it was back down to a 3. So I think if my up extremes aren't that bad, maybe my down extremes won't be that bad either.
Sure. That makes sense to me. Just from a physics point of view, I don't know how the brain actually works, but, you know, I'm thinking of pendulums in my head and that, you know, makes sense to me.
Well, sure. I mean, the brain is not capable of violating the laws of thermodynamics.
You obviously.
Can't have, you can't create or destroy brain energy, right?
That's almost definitely true.
I have no idea.
Nor I.
No, I needed that to come out of my mouth a little faster to sound convincing, and I stumbled, and now you can't picture me in a lab coat because I fucked it up.
I picture you in a lab coat, but, like, it's a little dirty. Like, you should probably take it to the dry cleaners, you know?
Mm.
Like, it's not a good-looking lab coat. It's like something you pulled out of a crate for a Halloween costume. Not good.
Mm. That makes sense. So this time I wanted to talk about ADD. And
yes.
Lovely this time that the roles are reversed. You seem to be much more confident talking about your depression. You seem to be, I don't know what the word is, not well-versed, but you seem more familiar with it. You seem more comfortable talking about it. You seem, you know, more introspective about it.
I think I get more frustrated with the ADD just because it's a daily thing, you know?
Right.
And not that depression isn't, but,
it comes,
you know, when you're cruising along, like you said, at a 3 or whatever, you can sort of put it to the back of your mind. But just in terms of, you know, going to work and doing a job and just, you know, like living my life, you know, the ADD for me is just always, always there. And, you know, and it's a fairly new thing for me.
Well, yeah, you were diagnosed when?
2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Let's see, I've been in this apartment 2 years, so it's just after that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, about 2 years.
Okay. And you're still...
Give or take a month here or there.
And so you're on meds. Have you decided? Have you stabilized some kind of dosage? Are you still working with that? I mean, it takes a little while to find exactly what you need.
I have been on the same dosage for, I don't know, 6 months, maybe even a year. I'm, again, horrible at the record keeping, which, you know, sure, would probably be something I should do if I'm interested in, you know, getting a hold on this thing. But
no, I'm curious if you're still fucking with it or if you've kind of settled into a routine. You don't have to say exact months if you don't remember.
I have settled into a routine. I'm starting to wonder if I settled too quickly on this routine, just because it was better. Sure. And if there is still, you know, if there's still more progress to make, either pharmaceutically or otherwise, because I still feel like I'm, you know, on my good days, halfway to, you know, I don't even want to use words like normal, but, you know.
But I think I understand what you mean. Here's the thing. I was diagnosed in 1996. Mm-hmm. I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. They gave me Ritalin.
Sure.
And once we got, like, it was a little too much at first, little on edge, but they slowed it down and it settled in. And a couple weeks, this is the thing. This sounds so stupid, but seriously, I could read a book. I picked up a book and I read it from the beginning to the end. My eyes didn't wander. I didn't get bored. I didn't skip to the dialogue. I read the whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. That was, as you would say in your sports metaphor, is a game changer.
Game changer, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That's when the game changes, right?
I feel like something, like, changed with me, and I don't know what it was, or I don't know if it's just, you know, the barrage of outside, you know, stimuli that I'm, you know, subjected to, or that I subject myself to, you know, more than I did 10 years ago or whatever. But, like, I used to be able to sit down and read a book, you know, and now I seem to have lost that ability. So I don't know if that's just, if that's just training, if something in me has, you know, has changed, if I've just, I don't know.
See, I wonder about that because, and this sounds, you know, like a stupid cliche.
Sure.
But I wonder if the internet, if, you know, the information age, whatever the hell you want to call it, if having access to very quick information. I mean, you watch someone look at Tumblr. They scroll through. If there's words, they don't stop. Mm-hmm. They look at each image, I don't know, 2 seconds maybe, and they keep scrolling. I mean, you compare that to, you know, when we were kids. But,
right.
But really, the sort of our generation has had to make the transition from, you know, small amounts of information to vast amounts of information. Maybe, you know, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's difficult for you.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna put it all on the back of that. I'm not gonna say that, you know, it's like the internet broke my brain. There are times when, yeah, it certainly doesn't help, you know, and that's it's definitely, you know, my biggest source of distraction. You know, definitely comes from various online sources, be it, you know, computer, smartphone, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's a daily frustration. And
well, and we've talked about this. You showed me a video of a guy, and I'll put a link up to this, who was talking about, what did he say exactly? That it was a gift or something like that?
Well, no, there are people who say, you know, who will try and tell you that it's a gift because, you know, there are these successful, you know, creative types who have found a way to, you know, channel the sort of, you know, moving in a million different directions.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, right? But, you know, what he was saying is that, like, it's not a gift, you know, it's a fucking disorder. And just because some people have found a way to channel it, you know, or like use it to their benefit, you know, that doesn't mean that, like, I don't know, that, like, having ADD is, like, some sort of, you know, shortcut to, you know, creative success or whatever else. And he, you know, I don't know. I think his whole point was just that it's not a quirky little thing that, you know, that people, you know, find a way to work with, or that, you know, like, you're not, I don't think that you are creative because of your ADD.
Oh, okay. But that was the end of your sentence.
No, you know, like, I think, and I'm not saying that you're, you know, creative in spite of your ADD either, you know, it's a balancing act. But I think his point was just that, like, you need to look at it, like, as, you know, as a disorder, as, you know, as an actual, like, thing, not like a quirky little gift that, like, you know, makes you a little distracted. But look, you made, like, both a painting and a sculpture or whatever. I don't know. The video will say it in 15 seconds, but I just took, I think, 20 trying to explain. But
I don't, I, Okay, I don't see it as a good thing or a bad thing. I don't see it as you have a disorder, you're sick, you need to be well. But I also don't see it as a gift. I don't know. I've had it my whole life as far as I know. It's so ill-defined is the first thing.
Sure.
I have a real problem with the way it's diagnosed in children.
Well, it's ill-defined, and it's also, you know, I think it sort of became the thing to du jour, and so it's, yeah. You know, it's hard to explain, and it's also, I think, sort of misdiagnosed in like a snap judgment kind of way sometimes, you know?
I don't know. I think they started using it in like the early 90s. You remember when you first heard attention deficit, and you're like, that's bullshit. What is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they used to call it, this is no kidding, minimal brain dysfunction.
Well, that's not good.
No. So, I mean, that's at least an upgrade.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those shell shock, post-traumatic stress disorder sort of misogynes of the language.
Except I'm okay with that. Like, Carlin may not have been, but I'm
right,
okay with that.
Right, right, right. In this case, it's certainly making me feel a lot better. Right. I don't want to have anything that has minimal and brain in the title of it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's very clear to me looking back.
Yeah.
That I was always that way. I don't know if you call it hyper or whatever. I honestly don't know the difference between ADD and ADHD.
Yeah,
should.
Yeah, but, I know. I should too.
But I mean, you've talked to me. Everyone listening has probably heard me talk before. You think I'm hyper? You think that might be a thing? Yeah.
I think, you know, you hear hyper and you think about like, you know, the little kid who's had too much sugar bouncing off the walls. But I think there's also like, you know, hyper in the sense of just like, you know, brain activity or like just the, you know, like just because I'm not running laps around the room just to burn off extra energy, like doesn't mean that I'm, you know, that I'm not hyper necessarily. You know what I mean?
Right. The other thing for me is I don't know that I could tell the difference between hyperactive and manic.
Right.
Because like we talked about last time, I'm bipolar. And I asked my shrink, he said, oh.
Exactly.
He said there is a difference, but it's really hard to clinically define.
Right.
He says if you figure it out, you can kind of feel it in your own head, but it's hard for them to tell from the outside.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking back, I was definitely a bit high energy, a little more than I should have been. The key is, you hear this a lot, bored in school.
Right.
Like, I was in like gifted classes in elementary school when you're allowed to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I was gifted at finger painting, apparently.
Hey, good for you.
But when you get to middle school, suddenly like, oh, you have to hand things in on time and you have to read books and pay attention. Yeah. Then I got like straight Fs.
Yeah.
It was like way to the other end. And that's the thing. I was the classic, you know, archetypal kid who was bored in the back of the class because he didn't want to learn that. He wanted to learn something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We've all heard about that, and that's
sure.
That
yeah,
was
like
me.
You, if there was a thing that you were into, like you could, you know, lock yourself in a room and like just read about it or whatever, dig into it, you know, forever.
It wasn't like I was sitting in the back of the class huffing paint or something.
Right,
like my brain was moving. I just didn't care what they were saying.
When it was time to do with Mice and Men, you're like, well, this doesn't really grab me, and so I'm going to go back to, you know, like whatever, looking
right.
at battleship schematics or whatever your thing was.
Right. Oh, you pegged me. Battleship schematics.
I mean, come on. I think most, I don't know. I'm. I have
no. That's totally a little boy thing. You're right.
I have a friend whose kid is going through his World War II phase. You know, which I think like most young boys go through at some point, where it's like they're just fascinated by the tanks and the ships and everything else. So
oh no, absolutely.
That's why that example jumped to mind. Not because I think you're some sort of nautical aficionado.
Well, I am now.
Naturally,
I need to go get my little sailor hat just to complete the look.
Is it time for Mother Boy already?
When I was diagnosed, though, it was the same time my brother was. He's 13. Mm-hmm. And they were going over all those symptoms, the, you know, easily distracted and blah, 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 blah. And again, if you look at those and you look at any child, like, yeah, okay, they all do that. Like, how does that apply? So I'm kind of glad that I caught on when I was like 22, because I don't feel like I was misdiagnosed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like I say, I recognize those symptoms sort of in retrospect, and it's definitely hereditary as far as I can tell, because my brother had it, and I thought, you know, I have it, and my mother definitely cannot hold a phone conversation with me for more than 10 seconds. But the thing is, back then, they just had the sort of the DSM-3 or whatever it was at that point, the list of criteria. Now I think they understand the brain chemistry more.
Yeah.
And I'm reading from notes here. I don't know this off the top of my head, but it's low levels of different neurotransmitters.
Okay.
which they can, I don't know if they can measure it or not, but that they now know it's a real physical cause and not like a, I don't know, they dropped you on your head or you watch too much TV or, you know, whatever.
Right. Jimmy eats too much sugar, whatever, you know.
When I was a kid and my mom thought that's what it was. That was why I was so hyper. She gave me the awful sugar-free candy and a terrible sugar-free diet, and that didn't do shit. So she's like, oh, thank God, now I can make normal dinner again.
Yeah, if I look back, I think, you know, I think I definitely see the signs there, you know, just in terms of that sort of distractibility that, you know, I think I had some of the board in class stuff, but, you know, not too much. I've always been just a god-awful procrastinator, and whether or not that's, you know, something attributable to ADD or something else, I don't know. But that's been a struggle with me, you know, forever, just...
Right.
You know, doing something else and just ignoring the thing that needs to be done until, you know, the last minute, and then starting at the last minute and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, and that takes me to, like, you can't use that as an excuse. That might be why you're prone to that behavior, but you got to recognize that and get over it.
Well, at least I'm better than...
Or if you're comfortable with it, that's fine too. If you know
you're
best under pressure and you do your best work in the last 10 minutes, well, that's fine too. But getting stressed over it sucks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people say that just as sort of rationalizing to themselves. Like, you know, I do my best. The problem is when you do your best work in the last 10 minutes and it's something that, you know, it takes 30 to 40 minutes to do, you know, because then you're just not, you know, you're trying to cram it in and that never works.
Right. To me, like I say, it's a cause, but it's not an excuse. If you ever say, I can't do this because I'm ADD, that's bullshit.
Oh, it's total bullshit.
It's like anything. It's like if you got a bit of a limp, you still got to walk around. You got to compensate. You got to, you know, figure it out.
Find a way to make it work.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. I mean, the benefits for me, I mean, the creativity, which is definitely linked to it. I've read a lot of stuff. I've talked to a lot of shrinks and things. ADD people are definitely more prone to creativity. They're also prone to depression. So there's that.
And then what about creative people? Are they also prone to depression? Because it seems like a double whammy.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I think it's all tied up together. And it's one of those, you know, logical arguments where not all depressed people have ADD. Sure. Not all creative people are depressed. You know, it's like I'm taking the fucking SAT right now. But yeah. But the thing for me is, I think, and this makes me sound like I'm, you know, trying to pass myself as a genius or something. And it's not that. My brain just moves really, really fast.
Yeah.
And I get all these ideas. I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. And the other key advantage for me is what they call hyperfocus. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
I have not experienced that in the same way you've described it. Are you talking about on the meds or even off the meds?
It was definitely there when I was a kid, but it's way better now. I say better. It's probably not good. Well, for instance, today. I was wrapped up in a project. I had something I wanted to finish, and I forgot to eat.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. Everything that's not what I'm doing, completely just not important to the detriment of everything, basically.
Yeah. I have a friend who's much like that, and she, I'm jealous of that sometimes in her, and also when I hear you describe it, because I feel like I never quite hit that zone. Like, I kind of flirt around the edges of it sometimes, but she'll do that. She'll, like... you know, get into a project like a, you know, she's sewing thing or she does a lot of like craft stuff and she'll just like, you know, she'll put her head down and then I'll hear from her like 4 hours later. And she's like, I just took a break because I was just like, I was dialed in and I was, you know, doing my thing. And so I don't feel like I've ever, you know, really hit that point, at least not with any regularity. I mean, there've been a couple of times when I'll really, you know, key into something and then look up and it's, you know, I don't know when it got dark.
Well, and that might be, like, that might just be other people are prone to that who aren't ADD.
Right.
And it might be affecting you differently. It's still not perfectly defined is the thing. But, I mean, I've made that work for me like crazy. When I start locking in, I lock in on something that's important, and I just run with it, and then I get something done, and it's just such a great feeling. I've learned to use what I have to my advantage, and it works great. I can't imagine being any other way.
And can you feel like when you're in that mode or when you're sort of approaching that zone, like can you like feel that coming on and be like, I should get latched into something? Or is the project, like the thing that draws you in, is what like gets you to that point? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, the project does.
Okay.
I don't even know I'm doing it until after I'm done. And I say, like you say, shit, it's night.
Yeah, right.
Or I say, shit, I haven't talked to my wife all night. Maybe I should put this down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to some extent why I don't have a ton of social life because I lock in on these creative projects and I don't realize that the day is gone because I've been editing all day or writing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it sucks. And then throw that in with a little bit of social anxiety that I used to have. And never really does.
The combination of the two I find can like really like,
yeah,
you know, you do that thing where like you make plans and then, you know, the plans come along and you just, I don't know, maybe social anxiety is a whole different show, but I don't know how wrapped up it is with everything else, but I've definitely had that where I, you know.
You convince yourself you'd rather be doing what you're doing mm-hmm. than go out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's probably normal.
Could be. Who the fuck knows?
I know. I hate that word, especially in the context of this discussion, but
we gotta set some kind of, you know, baseline.
Sure.
If we're gonna talk about this.
That makes sense.
Normal is what we're not. I was looking over some of the, you know, positives and negatives and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
My shrink apparently is writing a book. I know this because every time I go in to see him, he tries to sell me the book. I went to his website and looked some stuff up, and I think he needs a copy editor.
Oh, that's no good.
Or at least not to let spell check just autocorrect his words, because there's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, because sometimes there are words that are real words, but they're not the right word. I found that in my time.
No, these are words that are the right words, but he typos them so bad that they turn into other words.
Oh, that's troubling.
Yeah, and that goes back to like the first version of Word that did that. That still cracks me up.
Hilarious.
But in the list, it was, you know, impaired sense of time, difficulty estimating time to complete a project, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then something called a low frustration tolerance.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Oh, I know exactly what that means.
Yeah, I know. Make a little joke there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, I was gonna read about it, but I couldn't find the Wikipedia page I was looking for, so fuck
right.
it. Yeah, no, I mean, the trigger for my, you know, for my eject button is so, so sensitive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I either get to a point, you know, and bail out, or like just like I don't get past the information, you know, gathering phase.
Well, that sounds more like fight or flight to me. Is that you're not necessarily describing frustration to me so much as fear might be a strong word, but
yeah, I think there's a fear element. Maybe it's just fear of being frustrated. I don't know.
Could be.
Maybe I've gone through the cycle, you know, so many times now
right.
that I'm just bugging out early. But like, yeah, I mean, I've done things where like I've tried to learn an instrument, and I like, you know, I got the ukulele and I got a couple of books and I watched some videos, and then I like the first, you know, I tinkered with it, and like I wasn't good at it right away, so I quit. But like it didn't click right away,
mm-hmm.
and so like I was just like, fuck this.
I, you know, just about everyone I know, and definitely everyone I know that's copped to having ADD has that.
Yeah.
I bought this thing. I tried this thing. It didn't work. I don't know how many people I know with blogs with 5 posts or
sure.
a podcast with 2 episodes or whatever. And it goes, actually, for me, it goes back to that. It was Merlin Mann, right? The care.
Yeah.
You got to pick something that's important to you and you got to stick with it. And for a while, it's going to suck and it's going to bore you, and then it's going to get great again.
Yeah.
And the thing for me is I try not to latch on to stuff that I recognize the patterns. That's the big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've become very introspective because of all this. And I say, I fucked up over and over and over again. I'm not doing this again.
Mm-hmm.
I see the pattern. I'm not going to buy a ukulele because I know I'm just going to put it down in a week.
Right.
And I've gotten a lot better at that,
mm-hmm.
which to me, you know, the meds take you so far, but really it's all about self-awareness. It's all about knowing your patterns and trying to break them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And one of the things on the list was difficulty planning for the future.
Sure.
Repeats behavior, doesn't study or learn from past behavior.
Yep.
That is exactly the opposite of me now. I think I'm aware of that, and I think I've made myself be like OCD about it since
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that big time. The, mm-hmm. you know, difficulty planning for the future or, you know, especially that. Like, I don't make plans, you know, more than a week or two out, except for, you know, big events like weddings or whatever. I mean, you know this, like I was trying to get up to Seattle for Emerald City.
Yeah, and until a couple weeks in, you didn't know for sure.
And it was like, oh, that just seems so far away. Like, I can't even, mm-hmm. like, that seems like so far in the future, you know? And then what happens? Oh, it's next week. Shit, missed my window, you know?
See, and that used to happen to me, and I got tired of it happening.
Yeah.
And I said, no, never again. To the point where when we're preparing for this big event, I got a bunch of people helping me. I start bugging them in January and they're like, what? It's a long way out. No.
Yeah. No, it's not. Trust me.
Yeah. And I am a compulsive list maker at this point. Mm-hmm. Right after the con, I was like, okay, all my plans went up to today. Time for more plans.
Yeah.
What's the next 3 months going to be? What creative projects am I going to do? What, mm-hmm. Whatever. And I so many lists, and then I whittle them all down to one list, and it's such a big deal to me.
See, and that's where I've gotten to too, where like I used to have a bunch of lists, and mm-hmm. now I have one notebook that's always in my back pocket, and it has everything, whether it's work stuff, paying bills, mm-hmm. Send mom a birthday card. Like, it's all on one list because I've given up on using any type of, smartphone or online task manager. I use my phone for some reminder stuff. But everything else is on the list in my pocket, because if I don't physically write it down with a pen in my hand, mm-hmm. it does not stay in my brain.
That works for me with some things, like the act of writing it down. It's not even that I have to look at the list again. The act of writing it down burns it into your brain somehow.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this though. And this is, an obvious, stupid question, but really, what happens if you lose that notebook?
Oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
In fact, it happened in a way. I had a can of Red Bull, because mm-hmm. people like me need more caffeine, burst open in my bag, mm-hmm. and my notebook was in there, and it got soaked and drenched. And so, like, for the couple of days it took it to dry out before I could like copy stuff over to to a new book, like I was lost. I don't think I got anything done for those 2 days.
See, I've
boss, if you're listening to this, that was on a weekend.
I've tried like all those different, I've tried so many calendar apps, to-do lists, blah, blah, blah. None of them just line up with the exact way my brain works. And I've made a thing. I'm Google Docs for everything, because mm-hmm. I still hate calling it the fucking cloud, but that's what it is. It's not going away. I ended up embracing the word tweet and blog. Mm-hmm. I still hate them, but fine. Yeah. They're here. So the cloud. But no, I like having those files available anywhere, no matter where I am.
Yeah.
And it's a simple spreadsheet. I could not figure out anything else. So I make a column for each day. Mm-hmm. And if I can't do something today, I copy and paste it to the next day. And that's it. That's all it is. But I can't, I do write stuff down, but I can't only have it in that form for exactly the reason we just talked about.
Yeah. I have to write it down. And then I just, when it starts getting to like where things are undone, like a couple mm-hmm. pages back, because it's a small pocket sized notebook, mm-hmm. So every few days I'll go through and I'll look at like previous pages. And if there's stuff that's not crossed out, that still needs to be done, mm-hmm. then I'll cross it out, then rewrite it, with any updated information or whatever. But I just, I had a life for a while. I had a life list, and a work list, and I had a reminders, and I had, whatever else. Mm-hmm. And just none of it, none of it ever stuck. And there was always just like some little bit of friction there that didn't, didn't let it work for me. And so I just went just one list, everything in one place. And then,
Right.
It's like, I forget, shit, it might have been Carlin, where he said, people always say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. He said, shit, put all your eggs in one basket, then watch that basket. I don't think that was Carlin, but I forget who it was.
No, that's good, regardless. My thing is, I don't know what causes this. I don't know if it's my crazy obsessiveness about lists. Mm-hmm. I got to completely start from scratch and remake the list about once a month. Mm-hmm. This is too complicated. This is overly ridiculous. I need to pare it down. I need to, organize it, consolidate. And I'm constantly, I would say about 10% of the time, I'm just making lists.
Yeah.
But it works. I mean, here's the thing, and this is going to come off a little arrogant, but you know what? Fuck it. Mm-hmm. My way works.
Yeah.
I release fucking, 200 or 300 podcasts in the last few years, videos and this thing. And, I know what I'm fucking doing.
Yeah.
I've made it work for me. And if I got to sit and make lists all day, well, it works. So who cares?
Yeah. And that's the thing with this and even to some extent, I think with the depression too, where it's just mm-hmm. like, you got to just find something that works for you, and what works, what works for other people won't necessarily work for you, blah, 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 all those cliches. But you got to figure out what works, and then just, for me anyway, like when I found those things that work, then I just fucking latch onto them. Like it's a life raft.
Sure. But to me, the key is, like I say, self-awareness, self-analysis.
Yeah.
If you keep a journal, or if you're good at remembering things, and I know the answer to that.
Sure.
But really you look at when you're about to start something new, you say, have I done this before? Mm-hmm. How's it going to turn out? You try to play it out in your head. You mm-hmm. try to say, I've tried this like 7 times and it hasn't worked. What's going to be different this time?
Right.
And I do a lot of that. And that's why I don't put myself out there with a project until I know for sure it's going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to be that guy. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate it with me. People do it and, you know, I don't care. Do what you like. But
Well, and there are some people who will say, who will go the other direction, who will like make their project known because then it's out there and it's real and it forces them to like act on it and complete it, you know?
That may work for some people. Doesn't
and it does. Yeah, it does work for some people. But it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, sort of the self-awareness and the introspection, because like that's when I knew that this was a problem that maybe I couldn't like deal with just by like smashing my head against it, you know?
Right.
Because I went through a lot of like, you know, right around the time I decided to actually see a doctor and like try and figure this out and get mm-hmm. some help. I was doing terribly at work. You know, I was basically being like, I don't know, downsized, let go, like cut back to a much lesser position. Mm-hmm. And it was just because like, I couldn't finish anything. You know, I was given some larger projects and they were just too big for me to manage. And, you know, because I'm me, like, instead of asking for help on that, like, I just sort of, like, shut down, you know?
All right, well, let me ask you this without getting too specific.
Sure.
You went through some pretty bad crap a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Was that around the same time? Do you think maybe that had something to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, it was overall a very chaotic time in my life.
So it wasn't just necessarily your inability to focus. There may have been some other factors.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Self-analysis, I'd think about it.
Yeah, I will, but not right now. yeah, I'll do it later. Let me write it on my list. Uh-huh. But it got to the point where I was keenly aware of my, you know, sort of distractibility and going in like 9 different directions at once, which was preventing me from going in like 1 direction at once and finishing this thing I had to finish.
Right.
And I'm sitting there like at my computer with this PowerPoint open that I'm supposed to be working on, that I need to be working on, that like needs to be done like fucking yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mouse like bounces off to like something else. I'm like, oh, I wonder what's happening over here today. And it's like, I'm keenly aware that I'm going off on a tangent, you know, that I'm off task.
Right.
And it's like, I'm looking at my hand and like, I literally can't control it. Like I literally can't stop myself from just like ping-ponging around to 7 different things.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, and so that's when I was like, holy shit, like, you know, after, I don't know, years of sort of just slapping myself around in like a, you know, you're lazy, you've got a shitty work ethic, uh-huh. you know, you just don't care, blah, blah, blah. I sort of had that moment where I was like,
maybe there's something more to this.
Yeah, like I know, you know, like I know that what I'm doing is I don't know, wrong, you know, whatever, but I'm still doing it. And like, I literally like can't will myself to like, just stay on this one track. And so I was like, holy shit, like maybe we should start looking at some other things.
Well, there are 2 things there. Mm-hmm. One, you say you first sort of tried to blame yourself and say, I can't focus. I got to get my shit together.
Sure.
We talked about this with depression. It's even harder for people to acknowledge that this is a thing. If you haven't read or known someone with it, it's hard to say, oh, of course, ADD, get some help. Everybody's parents say, no, just fucking pick it up and do it.
Yeah.
It's not that hard or it's not that easy. It's very difficult. Even more than depression where people say, just cheer up. You get a lot more of this. So there's definitely a stigma there. There's definitely a denial there that mm-hmm. you probably have yourself. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, as far as those behaviors, as far as I can't stop myself doing this impulsive thing, I have that too. I totally have that. Mm-hmm. I learned to go a couple of steps back and prevent myself doing it. Mm-hmm. For instance, and I sound like such a douchebag, I don't have cable. Mm-hmm. I used to sit and flip.
Yep.
I can't have a TV. I can't have something that isn't just pre-recorded shows that I know I want to watch. Because I will just sit there and watch whatever's on, even if I hate it.
Yep.
Because it's TV. It's there.
Yeah. No, and there's always, you know, there's always something on. There's always, you know, so there's always some next thing, you know, and it's, and even if it's, I mean, God, how many times have you, I mean, back when you did have cable or whatever, how many times did you stop on TBS and watch, like, you know, the second half of Jurassic Park that you've seen 700 times just
well,
because
sure.
it was on, you know?
It's 6:05. It must be time for a Clint Eastwood movie.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I get you. But and that's why I don't have TV anymore. I only get, like, I don't even have DVR. I get, you know, iTunes or, you know, whatever, pretty much iTunes. And it's other things like that, too. I don't play video games anymore. Not because I don't like them, but because I like them too much. And there's a lot of things like that for me. And people are always like, well, how come you don't play? How come you don't read comics anymore? How come you don't do the time sick? That's why.
Yeah.
And I come off as such an asshole. Well, can't you just read it? No. No, I cannot read one comic.
Right.
No, I can't play a video game and then go do something else. I make a very rare exception when there's something that comes out that I'm just crazy about.
Transformers.
Yeah, that Transformers game, totally. But a couple other things. I liked Saints Row. I liked nothing your company makes. But
damn you. Papa needs shoe money.
No, I don't know. You mean sock money, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what you mean. That's a whole other problem for a whole other show.
Yeah, right. God, talk about getting, like, I don't know, that's probably more of a manic thing than anything else. It's just like, oh, here's a new thing I like, and I'm just going to go fucking crazy with it.
That's, I mean, that, but that's sort of obsessive. Okay, this doesn't really apply to the sock thing. Maybe it does. I don't know. ADD people are notorious risk takers. In that, buying socks are a crazy risk that if you buy them, you know, you might hurt yourself. You might strangle yourself.
Well, you know, I've got this linoleum in my kitchen, and if I'm wearing the wrong socks, it can be very slippery.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could put one over your head and rob a convenience store.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not cool. We are known for crazy risk taking, doing stuff to kind of snap yourself out of the everyday sort of fog.
Yeah.
And part of that is compulsively spending money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah. I mean...
That's what I'm saying. You go buy things you don't... Not that you don't need or even that you don't want.
Oh, no,
stuff,
I don't need them.
But if that's your collection, if that's your thing, that's fine. But if you don't have the money for it right now, that's different.
Right, right. And that, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm, you know, I try to be fairly aware of. I mean...
Yeah, but it's hard. I'm fairly aware of all my stuff, but going into Emerald City, like I say, this is a big thing for me. This is my yearly, you know, thing. And as we're getting close, as all the projects are finishing, as everything's coming together, I start making stupid purchases.
Yeah.
Stuff I don't need, stuff I can't afford because I got to save my money for the con. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to talk to my shrink. I said, is this normal? Is this a thing? He said, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're keyed up. You're ready to go. And some of that energy's burned off doing stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
I went and
bought. Yeah, I don't know what the brain chemistry is of, you know, of making purchases, but, like, there's definitely something there. I mean, there, you know, I've done that. I mean, God, Amazon, you know, yeah. Prime and one click shopping.
Yeah. We just got Amazon Prime like a month ago, and it's the worst.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's that lizard brain thing. It's that.
Yeah.
It's that risk taking on a small scale on a, you know. I don't know. It sounds stupid when you say risk-taking is buying something on Amazon, but it's still, it's something you shouldn't be doing for immediate gratification or close to immediate gratification.
Well, and I think the immediate gratification is a big thing there too. You know,
yeah, it absolutely is.
It's just, yeah, you get that, you know, you get that one
you
click.
You get the high, right.
Yeah.
And it's other things too. It, you know, you try, you get it where you can. You do things that you shouldn't be doing. I mean, some people to a ridiculous extreme. They'll drive their car too fast or, the you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just part of the thing. And I think I have it under control. But then, like I say, I started buying $50 worth of candy from the UK that I can't afford right now or whatever, you know?
Oh, man, the size of the bag of gummy peaches that I bought today is ridiculous.
See, and do you want those or is it after the 10th one, you're going to be like, Christ, these are
no,
terrible.
You know what happened is the place that usually has them right across the street didn't have them. So my solution is to go online and buy a fucking 5-pound bag.
Yep.
What the fuck, man?
I used to order Jolt Cola by the case because I couldn't buy it at the corner store anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm crazy hoarder because of that.
Yeah, no, people like us should not have Costco memberships, I don't think, ever.
Yeah, I let mine lapse for a good reason.
Yeah, it's no good. It's troubling.
But that's, you know, in comfortable lives, comfortable first world lives like ours, that, you know, that amounts to risk taking. That's the best we can do because we're fucking lame.
We are lame. God damn it.
You can't go throw yourself in front of a lion because, you know.
Yeah.
you could just go online and buy some books.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or the most immediate gratification thing, which is buying something for your Kindle immediately.
Oh, it's just, it's here so fast. I mean, it just appears right here, like magic.
And then I don't read it because it's too much distraction.
Yeah. Well, who can read a whole book? I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, I can now, but I don't have the time.
Yeah.
I had too many irons in the fire. I don't have time to read.
Yeah.
It's just...
I just watch Saved by the Bell reruns instead because I'm healthy.
Yeah, but that's different. That has now turned into... you've spun that into comedic gold, and now I don't know if... I haven't seen one episode of Saved by the Bell, but I enjoy, you know, watching, listening to your recaps. Those are fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you judging me now? Fun. You haven't seen an episode, really? Nope.
No, I'm not that guy. I'll never be that guy. I'll never be, oh my God, you haven't seen blah, blah, blah. Listen, people grow up with different things, so... Yep.
No, it came on right after I like graduated and
yeah, I feel like you just because you're a couple years older than me, right? So I think you just sort of missed the sweet spot for that.
Right. From what I could tell, it was just Archie for TV.
Yeah, pretty much.
That means
actually I think no, not true, because the big jock's name was Ox, not Moose. So it was totally different. It's totally different.
I think we've done this exact shtick before.
I know this does sound familiar. Yeah, because I think I remember looking up what Ox's name was.
Right.
Strangely, I don't have that knowledge at my fingertips.
Okay, well, come on. You've been watching it for months.
That used to be my TBS thing. That used to be like before it was on Netflix, like it was on during the exact window of time when I would get ready for work in the morning.
Right.
And so like now it's like my white noise. It's my comfort food.
Right. I understand completely.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing that we're definitely not going to see eye to eye on.
Okay.
So... I think of ADD as sort of living in a fog. When, before I got meds, if I don't take my meds, it's hard to, I mean, yeah, it's hard to focus. I can't really convey what it feels like, except when I drink, it feels like that.
Okay.
This is why I don't drink.
Okay.
Everyone's like, are you a teetotaler? What, you don't like to have fun? No, fucking drink all you want. Yeah. I don't care. But for me,
it makes my brain feel a way that I don't like the way my brain
right.
feels.
It completely. I went through 22 years trying to not feel like that. Why would I want to go back to that? I want to be on. I want to see things more clearly. I don't want to, you know, fog my mind up.
That makes sense.
I really don't. And I sound like such a douchebag. I don't get it. I don't get why people want to do that to themselves.
Yeah, and it's also a thing where, like, and, you know, this will make me sound like a double douchebag, where, like, if you don't get it, and if it's not something you like, then it's really nothing that I can explain to you, you know?
Right.
So that's, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. No, and you know, people that I know are fine with it. It's just, it's maddening to me. It's anytime I take any kind of a downer, any kind of, you know, pain pills or whatever, I don't like being like that. I don't like being sick. I mean, nobody likes being sick, obviously.
Sure.
But I don't like that sort of fevery, I don't know what's real, I got to take some NyQuil.
And there's, I mean, there's a, you know, like, there's a middle ground in there somewhere, obviously,
oh,
you know.
Is.
I mean, this is like, I actually had this exact same conversation on that message board a while back where we were talking about drinking. And somebody was like, well, I just don't see the point of like going out just so you get like blacked out and then throw up the next morning. I'm like, yeah, but you know that like, you know, going and meeting up with the guys and having a couple beers and maybe even getting a little tipsy, like, doesn't automatically mean that, you know, you,
yeah,
like, that you're, you know, fucking Andy Cap with little, like, hiccup bubbles coming out of the top of your head, you know? But I get what you're saying. Like, those two things feel the same to you. So, like, yeah, like, listen, I'm taking all these meds and I've been doing all these things to not feel like that. Why would I go out and intentionally feel like that?
No, I'm saying one, you know, well, I mean, my tolerance is crazy low now, but I'm saying two or three drinks would make me feel like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying blackout drunk. That's to me, that's stupid no matter who you are. But beyond that, I understand getting drunk. I understand that it's pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand impairing your perception.
Yeah.
That's where it loses me. That's why I could never try weed.
Yeah. You know, I actually talked to somebody who, like, totally relies on weed for, like, for dealing with his, like, ADD stuff.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
You know, just he says it slows him down to the point where he can actually, like, you know, think about things and do things. And like, well, that makes sense to me, just in a purely abstract way.
No, it does. I mean, I'll be honest. I've been on Ritalin since 1996 and now I'm on Adderall. I am a speed freak. I am addicted to methamphetamines. That is straight up a true statement.
What's the, okay. So let's talk about that a little bit. What's the longest you've gone without without your meds.
Oh, God. Not very long, a day or two.
Yeah.
Like when I'm sick, I usually don't take it.
Okay. So that's hard to gauge, you know, just because you're sick. But like, yeah, I'm the same way. Like I skipped it yesterday just because like I slept in and like I didn't want to take it late.
Oh yeah,
in the day
I skip it occasionally like that. Yeah.
You know, but I didn't do much yesterday, and I don't mean like I didn't get a lot done. I mean like I didn't get out of bed a whole lot yesterday. Like well, I took like 4 naps. You know.
But we're recording this on a Monday. You might have just had a lazy Sunday.
Yeah, could have. But I mean, I feel. It feels even like slower than that. Like I feel groggy, you know, like okay. I feel almost like I'm on cold medicine to that thing where like, I don't know why I would be tired, but oh, I'm falling asleep, you know?
Yeah. I get that sometimes, but on the other hand, I get a little, okay, I need a little kick. And you know, this totally makes me sound like a drug addict, but mm-hmm. I'll just pop an extra one.
Absolutely.
The
Absolutely.
Thing is they only give me so much.
Right.
They will not. And they're very strict about this. I tried to fill my prescription a day early and they said, oh no.
Yeah,
you come back tomorrow. You can only get 30 in a month, and that
oh,
is
I
it.
got mine stolen, and she said my
yeah,
doctor said
that.
that's a real bummer, but like I can't, yeah. you know, I can't refill you, and that was the there was that, and then there was also in the very early stages I was I'd started out on one medication. I don't know why I'm not being precise about this. I started out taking the extended release Adderall,
uh-huh.
and then I switched to the immediate release. Uh-huh. You know, sort of several times throughout the day, which nothing makes you feel like a junkie more than like snapping pills in half and, you know, taking them on a schedule.
Right.
And then I tried I may have this backwards, but I tried Concerta. I don't know, something that made it sound like concentrate. I forget what it was called, which I loathed.
Is it the same as Adderall or is it a whole different chemical?
I don't think it's a whole different chemical, but it's different. Like it's not just like okay. a different name for the same thing. Like it's some sort of a different thing, which I hated. Like it felt like somebody had their finger on my eyebrow all day. Like I just had like this heavy spot. Like, I felt like I looked in the mirror and was surprised I didn't have some sort of like caveman brow because just my like just everything from the like eyelashes up just felt big and heavy.
Yep.
But at some point during all this, when I was still like trying to figure it out, I emailed my doctor and said, hey, this stuff's fucking horrible. Can I switch back to the other thing? And she basically said, you can, but like finish what you have first because, and this is, I think this is her quote, you have a lot of amphetamines out in your name right now.
Jesus.
Like, shit, man.
Yeah, that's not cool. Which is weird because here I had a crossover when he changed me over from Ritalin to Adderall and I had a full month of both at one point.
Uh-huh.
And they let me, you know, no problem. Here you go.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's their reputation. They have a DEA number they have to write on all the scripts, and mm-hmm. it comes back to them if the stuff's ever abused, and
yeah.
I understand where they're coming from, but yeah, still.
Oh, that's the only reason I even, like, called in a police report when, you know, when my bag got stolen. Like, I knew my iPad was a lost cause and my wallet, you know, and everything else that mm-hmm. was in there, but I didn't want my bottle of pills with my name on it to, you know, show up and some guy sell them down at the local college, you know, and then it
right.
comes back on me and comes back on my doc and all that. So like, I just wanted that all like in the system. And even
right.
then, even with a police report, I couldn't get a refill until like, you know, my next thing was up.
Yeah.
So.
That's bullshit. And if I understand correctly, putting yourself on it and taking yourself off it like that is, you know, it's rough.
Yeah. I mean, I got lucky because I was on, I'm on sort of a mix of the extended and the immediates.
Well, yeah, that's I heard you say that. I'm like, yeah, around 2 o'clock, I start getting a little logy. And mm-hmm. you said, yeah, you get like a booster in the afternoon. And I told my guy that and he said, yeah, that's good. Here, take those.
Yeah. So I'm on a lower dose of the all day. And then I sort of, you know, when necessary, you know, give it a little kick. And so luckily, all that got stolen were my, you know, my immediates and a few of just, a couple of the extendeds. And I mm-hmm. still had the rest of my extended release. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have lost my job, you know, because
yeah.
I just... Or I would have been down, you know, at the local community college trying to score.
Mm. Ironically, with your own pills.
I know, right? That's why now I engrave my name on each one. That's not true.
Well, it's easy.
Right?
It's not like it's a grain of rice. I mean, you can... Okay, here's a fucked up thing.
Okay.
You got the extended release, which is like a little capsule, right?
Yep.
It's like a, yeah. And then you got the regular, which is like a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Are your pills candy coated?
No, my pills are horrible. My immediates?
Yeah.
No, like I think they're made of sandpaper because like if I don't take it with a gallon of water, like it jams in my throat.
Weird, because it's a little blue one, and
yeah.
I it ended up touching my tongue because I didn't have enough water or whatever. I'm like, this mm-hmm. is sweet. And the next time I like put it on my tongue, this is candy coat. What the fuck?
See, mine are blue. Maybe I've never tasted it. Maybe I just jumped right to the like get stuck in my throat.
That
thing.
Could be. I just that's kind of unsettling.
Yeah,
when a child finds it, and you know, the thing, he switched me from Ritalin to Adderall, and he explained to me, and a lot of it didn't make sense, but he listened to the way I took it. I was taking such a low dosage. He said it shouldn't even work. It's amazing to me that it does work.
The Ritalin, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he went through all the psychopharmacology and pharmacology, and I don't remember. But he said Adderall's better, and it totally is. Mm-hmm. And something he told me, it is almost, I mean, I'm not going to say it is, and I certainly don't want to put this impression out. I don't know. But what he told me was that it's very difficult, nigh impossible, to overdose on Adderall.
Oh, really?
Because something about the way your body processes it, it goes through, I don't know.
You mean overdose to the point where it'll kill you? Or like
yes.
Overdose to the point where like if you take twice as much, it won't be twice as effective?
No. That you can do.
Yeah.
But if you swallowed a whole bottle of pills,
oh,
a certain amount would go through, I don't know. To me, your organs are your heart and your lungs, and then until you get your genitals, it's just guts. I don't know what's in there.
No, that's pretty accurate. I'm a doctor, so I know that.
Oh, well.
I mean, I've watched a lot of MASH, but you know what I'm talking about.
You know, so you can be maudlin and funny at the same time.
That's what I do.
That was a better observation before Futurama made it. But he said whatever, you know, wherever it passes through in your spleen or your colon or I don't know, it only allows a certain amount of this chemical through. So you the rest of it, you would just pass.
Mm-hmm.
You would just shit blue pills after that.
Interesting.
Which is
I don't want to test that hypothesis because like you said, like you only get so many.
Right.
But I know I've certainly been in situations where, you know, I've said, holy shit, like that was way too much. Not to the point where I felt like I was gonna die, but just to the point where like, you know, I felt like I'd had 19 Red Bulls.
Yeah. See, now I certainly couldn't do that every day, but every now and then.
I know, and it's shitty to say, and it makes you feel, you know, a little bit more like a junkie.
But if I take some and then I down a bunch of caffeine,
yeah,
it's a nice feeling. And I can only do that every so often.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to deny it's a nice feeling. Occasionally when I got a big project I want to finish,
mm-hmm.
and this was more with the Ritalin, because I was taking such a small dose, they were actually writing me too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I just squirrel the rest away. And every now and then.
Especially, well, there was the shortage last year.
Christ,
maybe, maybe there still is. But I mean, yeah, I think anybody who's taking, you know, Ritalin or Adderall, you know, not recreationally, because I know people who do that.
Sure.
You know, I don't know anybody, and I don't know a lot of people, but I don't know anybody who's, you know, actually on it and prescribed it who doesn't, you know, sort of build in that kind of a buffer, you know, and like have a secret stash.
Well,
sort of.
What I was saying is I would pop an extra one and finish the thing, and it's no big deal. The reason I stockpile them is when I first got the stuff in 96, 97, my insurance was real dicks about it. They're like, well, this is a controversial medication. You can't have it.
Right.
And I later found out that birth control was also a controversial medication. These guys were just assholes.
Because you grew up in the town from Footloose. So.
Yes, I did. I couldn't dance, and I couldn't take Ritalin. I got a lot of welding done, so that was good.
Hey, you know.
So that was difficult, and I got to the point where every other month I couldn't get it. And so I started saying, I need 20s and not 10s.
Mm.
I would get twice as much, and I would just stash it away.
Sure.
To the point where I have a whole medicine cabinet full of it now, and I don't need it anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, right down to your local community college. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Actually, I got like a 30-minute lecture from my doctor when I first got prescribed
about
the DEA will like send you to, you know, the bad prison,
right?
If you sell, give, you know, blah blah blah. So,
right.
Which again, but, like, makes you feel really good about, you know, like,
yeah, the stuff
going
they're handing
and
you,
getting your pills. Yeah, exactly.
But that's totally why I squirrel it away now, because there was a real, you know, there was a time where I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't cool.
I know.
But as far as, you know, occasionally I would pop an extra one. I'm talking every 3 months.
Sure.
I would just, I was writing a book. I almost finished a novel, and like I was a couple chapters away, and I just, here, over the cliff, here we go.
Power through, right?
Yeah, exactly. There was one time when I overdosed.
Really?
Well, not to like stomach pumping levels.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. I was on 10s. I was on 10 milligrams every, 3 times a day.
And these are like immediate release type things?
Yeah.
This is the Ritalin?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This was, I don't know, 5 years ago. I was living in Seattle, but I think I'd just gotten here. Mm-hmm. So they prescribed me 20s. Like I said, I was stashing them away.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to break it in half and take the other half later.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd take extra.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a whole 20. Then I forgot I did that and took another 20.
I've done that.
So I'm used to taking 10, and now I'm up to 40. That was not a fun night.
No, I imagine not. I've done that with the XRs, you know, with the extended release ones.
Oh, that's difficult too, because it's not going to hit you for a little while.
Oh yeah, then you're just in for a ride all day. Like I think I got up, cause I try and take it first thing in the morning, you know, because I wanted to sort of like be kicking in by the time I get to work. And I think I got up, you know, took my morning pill, like took a shower, you know, did my thing, and then like just came back and just had another one, and then was like,
oh shit.
Wait, did I just right before? Yeah. And I'm like, well, we'll see how today goes. And man, I was like, I think that was sort of early on too, when like the side effects were way sharper. And so like I was, I think I was just sitting at my desk, you know, like just streaming sweat down my body, which is always a good look for, you know, a fat bearded guy.
Did you have the impulse to pull your shirt over your head and call yourself Cornholio?
Because I did totally not. Had that. Only because I didn't really grow up with MTV. So like I was only sort of peripherally aware of that reference.
Oh,
I know.
You made me sad.
Mountain Town. Mountain Town, dude.
That's all right. It was a bit rough for me, but that's why I have one of those old man pill a day things.
Yeah, I do too.
Which, you know, here's my depression meds, here's here's my ADD meds, here's a Flintstones chewable, and I'm ready to go.
Yep.
I don't actually do Flintstones chewables anymore. I wish I did.
Oh, you totally should.
When I was little, I got in the bottle, and apparently I bit the heads off of every single one of them.
Wow, you are not well.
No, and I was like 3 or something. And my mom freaked out, and she called poison control, and they said, yeah, he's just going to be a little fortified for a couple of days. It's fine.
He's probably going to have cavities more than anything else that you have to worry about.
Right.
Oh, I can see that Lifetime movie now. My son overdosed on Bam Bams.
That totally sounds like a drug, too. Hey, man, want some Bam Bams?
Yeah, well, that's what we called them on the street.
Of course you did. They were hoppies mostly, though, strangely enough.
Which was hoppy? Was that the...
He's like the little kangaroo thing, but he was a dinosaur. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I feel like we're illustrating our point by getting...
I know. We've strayed.
See, here's the hard thing, is because I do a comedy show where we like to go off on tangents, it feels counterproductive for me to sit with Matt and to just wander off and to see where the conversation takes us. Cause I need to, you know, I need to stay focused. And that's why I've had a really hard time on both of my shows getting to the point where I'm not just the taskmaster. I'm not just, we have to go this way. We have to do this. It's hard to find the balance between a guided conversation and fucking, you know, being a Nazi about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, you want the, you know, I think we definitely see that just in our conversations. Like, you want the conversation to sort of flow and go where it goes. But, like, you know, like, I feel like we were maybe 30 seconds away from, like, jumping from the Flintstones to the Jetsons and then talking about the flying car. Like, then we were just gone, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, like, without meds, that's how it was for me, you know? Like, I would be, like, that gone in an instant. And so now with the meds, I still ping pong a little bit, but... I'm aware of it, and I can, like, I'll make 2 or 3 hops and then pull myself back in instead of being, like, 15 jumps down the road.
But see, that's what I'm saying. It's good to be focused, but on the other hand, I mean, I come off as super stiff, as super, you know, inflexible, and I don't want that either. I don't want to be super locked in all the time. I don't know how to loosen up. I really don't, and I blame the meds for that. I blame the focus and ADD awareness and all that. There's a famous picture of Nixon. At the beach, wearing his suit, walking on the beach. And that's just what I feel like sometimes.
Right.
Here I am, supposed to be having fun. Nope, wearing my suit.
I am having a wonderful time. There's sand in my pocket square.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, I'm keenly aware.
You know that Nixon at the beach feeling?
No, not that so much, but, like, I know that I'm infuriating to talk to sometimes, you know?
Like, in what way? I mean, I don't find you that way. What do you mean?
Just in like especially when I'm, you know, when I'm real drugged up. I talk super fast. I'm kind of all over the place. I interrupt like a motherfucker. You know, just the right down the line of, I think your, you know, your sort of regular you know, symptoms or characteristics or whatever. And then on top of that, like, I'm aware of it. But sometimes not enough to, like, rein it in. And so then I'm, like, as I'm talking, I'm like overanalyzing everything that I'm saying and doing. Like, am I talking too much? Am I talking too fast? Am I talking to you too much? Like, am I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, then I'm inside my own head. You know, I'm shitty with like, with eye contact. Like I'm constantly darting around the room.
Right.
Somebody I used to date would get infuriated with me because I was, you know, I was paying attention to her, I swear, but I was also like, I'd be listening to, you know, like other conversations that are happening, you know, at other tables, like not like listening to them, not like keying in on them, but like I'd be hearing them, you know? So I'd be like, did you hear what she just said? And she's like, no, because I'm sitting here trying to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, now I feel like an asshole. You know?
See, I've gotten to the point with that where if I'm trying to focus on a conversation, it's hard for me to have noise around me. Mm-hmm. When I write, I can't have music that has lyrics. Mm-hmm. I have to not pay attention to anything but the words in front of me.
Oh, when I'm at work, I've had to track down a lot of like, you know, sort of like instrumental or like sort of DJ, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, not like into house music, but just, yeah, stuff without lyrics. Because even if it's a song that I know front to back, and sometimes that's even worse, you know.
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm okay with my familiar 5 or 10 go-to albums, but beyond
that. Yeah, sometimes. Well, and so my battle cry is, I think it was from High Fidelity, where he says, I just want to put on something I can ignore, you know?
Right.
And like, that's what I want, because like, I want the noise because I work in an open office where people are walking by constantly. So like, I have to have my headphones on.
Oh, know? God. Yeah.
If I could wear blinders without getting like weird looks from people at the office, like I probably would, because the amount of just movement in my peripheral vision that pulls me out of what I'm doing is like, people always complain about cubicle farms. Like, I think it would like be my dream, because I just,
yeah,
like,
I love
I just
working
need,
on a cubicle.
Walls.
I work in a cubicle and it's great, but
yeah.
I work at home 2 days out of the week. That third day, Monday, Tuesday, when I go back on Wednesday, and I, even when I have my headphones on and I can hear someone on a phone call, can I just go back home? Just driving me nuts.
Hearing half of a phone call.
Well, that's even worse, but
might be like hearing somebody on the phone, but you know, obviously not being able to hear the other end of the conversation might be like one of my top five most like frustrating, like nerve grating things. And not just because someone's like, not, and I'm not talking about like on the bus and somebody's like shouting into their phone, 'cause like that's annoying in a different way.
Right.
But just like, if I'm hanging out with my family or like hanging out with my friends and one of them's on the phone, like having a conversation in the room, like I have to leave the room sometimes because like I can't hear. It's like having a song stuck in your head and not being able to like remember the next verse or something like that, you know?
I could see that. I don't get that. But what I get is I have to turn my music off and listen to what they're saying. I don't even want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
But because I can only lock in on one thing at a time, it's like, well, I guess it's this.
I guess I'm listening to this now. Yeah. And so I refer to it as my peripheral hearing. But I'm, you know, at the office sometimes I find myself sort of like chiming into conversations that don't necessarily like include me, you know, not in like a super annoying interrupting way, you know,
but
like, I don't know. I can't help it. And so like it makes, you know, going back to like the whole, you know, being at dinner with somebody you're supposed to be paying attention to, or just like having a conversation and like staying on, you know, a topic, or staying in just the general neighborhood of one topic,
right,
is difficult. And that in turn makes it difficult. Like, it makes it difficult to talk to people. It makes it real hard to, like, you know, God forbid, try and fucking date, you know, because I'm all over the place. Like, I can see, like, I don't know if they do, you know, like Yelp reviews for dates or whatever, but I can just see mine and it would be like, you know, like, didn't seem like he was paying attention. He was looking all over the room, you know, when I was talking to him, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's just...
One star.
Would not buy from again. If I could give 0 stars, I would. That's my favorite one. It's like, dude, we all know what 1 star means, okay?
Yeah, one star means...
0 wouldn't make all the difference.
1 star means you kind of didn't like it, but you want to balance out all the 5 stars.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no such thing as a 3-star review.
Right.
Jesus.
You talk about the holding a conversation, interrupting and all that. I know we both have that tendency.
Let me tell you about something else. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Easy joke. Low-hanging fruit.
When you... You love that low-hanging fruit.
I do. It's delicious.
It is delicious.
Sweet and juicy.
And it tastes like testicles. Because it's right there at crotch level.
Terrible.
Yep. And yet...
Go on.
I don't remember it now. No. Low-hanging fruit as well.
Ugh.
When we have these conversations, and this is the third one we've done,
mm-hmm.
you can hear us both trying... not to interrupt the other one and trying to compensate for that. And mm-hmm. both of us have gotten really, or like right now, you are stopping because you know it's my turn to talk.
Yeah.
But I can tell you're waiting to say something, and it's both ways.
Well, I found it's easier, I think, with, you know, when you and me, mm-hmm. because like you said, we've done this a couple of times, and I think we sort of have an idea. Like when I used to be on the show with you and Matt, like it was very hard because, you know, you put a third person in there, and then it's like, when's my turn to talk? I'm going. I'm talking now. You know, I did a thing with like three other people.
You did Loika's podcast, right?
Yeah, I just did it again mm-hmm. recently. We threw Albert in the mix. So there's four of us now, and mm-hmm. like I think I spent most of it just like sitting there like in fear because I just didn't want to like
talk over people.
Jump in. Like I feel like all podcast recording should be done with like a video element, just so like I can raise my hand when I when I have something to say.
Right.
Not out of politeness, but just so. I'm not
so you
like,
get a turn.
Yeah. And just so I'm it's
well, I watch these British shows, these panel shows that they do. QI in particular, but they do some other ones. And they got Stephen Fry's the host, and they got like four comedians there. And they keep this rhythm that I don't understand how they're not talking over each other. I don't understand how everyone gets a chance to talk. It's mm-hmm. amazing to me, and I guess it's a reflex you develop in showbiz.
I think it is. I think also like, you know, I think being there in person or being able to see the other people mm-hmm. helps because there are visual cues. Like sometimes, I mean, I'm not talking about as extreme as raising your hand, but like,
no, I get
you know,
it.
When you're talking to somebody face to face, if you're not totally oblivious, as I sometimes am, mm-hmm. but if you're not totally oblivious, like, you know, there are some sort of facial expression cues or whatever else that like, you know, you pick up on, like they're not paying attention or they're, you know, they want to say something, but I haven't stopped talking for the last 17 minutes, you know?
Right.
Or whatever else. But yeah, stuff like, I mean, I don't know if that's why I hate talking on the phone, but I hate talking on the phone.
I could see that. But going back to the dynamic of a podcast, that's why on that show, we only talk to friends now and we try to do a pre-show so we can find that rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah,
we were sort of morphing into an interview show there for a while. We talked mm-hmm. to, you know, not famous people, but people you might have heard of. We talked mm-hmm. to Michael Kupperman and we talked to the Axe Cop guy. And I'm dropping names. The Axe Cop guy. There's a name for you right there. But it's so difficult to do a three-person interview and have everyone be included.
Yeah.
Unless they're a friend, unless you're used to their rhythms, unless you're familiar with them, you can't do it.
Well, I mean, you look at even pros, you have, you know, Andy Richter sitting on Conan's couch, and even he is like in sort of a sidekick role. And like most of the time he just sits there laughing and like maybe chimes in with something eventually, you know. But yeah, it's very hard, I think, to find that rhythm.
It is. And that's why I prefer the sort of one-on-one stuff. That's why Matt and I have even sort of started phasing out the guests. It's not because mm-hmm. we don't like people. It's not mm-hmm. that they're not good on the show. It's just it's easier for us to riff back and forth without trying to figure out a third person. And it's an ADD
sure.
thing. It's totally, sure. I can lock into his rhythms easy because we do it twice a week. Mm-hmm. But it's harder when we bring a third person into that.
That makes total sense to me.
But it's, you know, everyone takes it as a slight. Oh, you don't have me on the show anymore. Well, it's because I can't focus.
Be more interest.
Well, you haven't been on that show for quite a while. So,
I know. That's why I stopped listening to it. No, I'm just kidding.
As long as you're downloading, I don't give a fuck what you do with it after that.
That's I'll remember that. I'll try and download it on at least six or seven different machines.
There you go. Then our numbers go up because someone's looking at those numbers, obviously. The network will cancel us otherwise. I think we've covered just about everything. I mean, did you have any other
sort of
points?
Oh, God, I
have
like 10 million more probably, but I don't know.
Prioritize.
Let me make a list. The thing, it's actually, it's... It's maybe good / bad that we're doing this now instead of when we originally, you know, like sort of scheduled to do it several weeks ago.
Yeah. I needed to do it after all my nonsense.
A few weeks ago, I was not having a very good time with all this.
With ADD specifically? Or?
Well, you know, that's a real chicken and egg thing for me because...
Yeah.
I've found
and you put them all in the same basket.
I found them with my mixed metaphors. I've found them to be very linked because when my ADD is when I'm not having a lot of success with my ADD and I'm not getting things done and then I'm feeling sort of like a failure, then that sort of puts me very close to the edge of like, you know, sinking into one of those dives, you know. And then, you know, once I'm down there, getting things accomplished becomes difficult because, you know, I'm oftentimes just underwater.
No, I get that. And the thing with me is if I get locked in that hyperfocus and I'm waiting on other people and it doesn't happen, that's a good way to drive me down too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, come on, I'm going, fucking come with me. Come on. Yeah. That happens so much.
And so I don't know what it was exactly, or if it was just, you know, sort of, if it was coming up on the, you know, anniversary-ish of you know, right, even getting in with all this stuff. I forget what it was. I started looking back at sort of the road I've been on, and
well, that's always a mistake.
I know, right? Yeah, it became very overwhelming to me that this is, you know, my life. It became very overwhelming that, you know, this is a thing that I have to deal with every day, and that every single day is, you know, is a struggle. Like, it's not easy. And like, there are no, you know, there are no days off, you know, there's not like a, you know, there's not a turn my brain off day or whatever else. Like, it's just, it's constant and it's every day. And it, like that, the weight of that got to me, you know, like, right, just looking at my big bottle of pills and just being very aware that like, this is my life every day. And in order to function, I have to do this every day. I have to take this fucking speed every fucking day.
Yeah, but think about like older relatives or whatever that have to take a fistful of pills. Who cares what's in them? That's what you need to go.
Yeah. And it wasn't even, I don't know, like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't medication shame necessarily. I went through that when I first started. I think I may have told this story on the depression cast we did. But I picked up my first prescription and I came home and I sat the bottle in front of me and looked at it and cried for about 2 hours. You know, just it in that moment. You know, I think it's this way for a lot of people who finally, you know, hit a point where they ask for help. Like it feels like giving up. You know, it feels like admitting I can't do this on my own. And like that's it.
Well, and we definitely talked about that in the depression.
Yeah,
and
that's a hard thing to deal with. You know, and so, so it's not even, you know, it's not even the like, you know, oh, I'm a pill head, or I can't function without my medicine. I don't know. It's just something about just the action of just doing it every day and just being, you know, just being very like reliant on it. Man, it just it kicked me in the guts, you know. And I
can see that. What you're saying makes total sense to me, but I'm so far from that. I felt that 20,
right,
you know, 20 years ago, and now it's just like, I don't know, it's a thing I do. I get up, I take my pills, I feel better, mm-hmm, I get on with it. It's the same as I gotta comb my hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I don't comb my hair, it looks messy. That's it. That's all it is.
I think at a certain point, you know, and here we're back to sort of the introspection and the, mm-hmm, you know, we're too smart to be stupid conversation we had before.
Right.
I think maybe it was realizing how much better I am, mm-hmm, on the medicine, you know, like how, yep, I like the way I feel more,
yes,
you know, I like the way my brain works more. And
well, did you have any of those, like, open your eyes, I can read a book moments like I had? Did you have something that completely stood out and said, this works?
No.
Okay.
I didn't.
But, and, you know, overall,
and that's,
that it does.
And
you
that, and that's all, I mean, that's also frustrating to me, you know, because I hear, you know, I hear people who've had that experience. I mean, I talked to another friend of mine, actually the friend that I talked to, who like is one of the major reasons I like got over the hump and asked for help, because, you know, mm-hmm, she'd been on medication for a while and like it really changed her life in a really positive way. And so she was like, mm-hmm, she was somebody who was, you know, like good and stable and normal. And like it's kind of shattered a lot of that, you know, that stigma for me. Mm-hmm. And she described it as like, you know, the first time she got on the medication, she was like, oh, this is how everyone else feels, you know,
yep,
like this is, you know, again, like I don't like the word normal in this context, but like, this is what, you know, normal feels like. And I don't feel like I've ever really had that moment, you know, which is frustrating, but I know.
But if you can look back now at the last year or two and you can say, now I feel that way, then you don't need the epiphany moment. It's still happening for you.
Yeah, I feel like I guess. So then on top of the, you know, this is my life every day feelings, you know, it was like, this is my life every day. And like, there are these side effects and there's, you know, all this other shit, but like, I'm also still struggling sometimes.
Well, medication by itself is not going to fix everything.
Right.
Medication and counseling, self-awareness, whatever you want to call it, you have to fix it yourself,
yes,
too. You can meet the medication halfway. But
yeah, they're all, and that's, you know, and that's, I was very aware of that going in. I never expected it to be, you know, a miracle drug that fixed my life. Mm-hmm. I always considered it, you know, a tool in the bag,
right,
you know, hopefully to go along with a lot of other tools, you know, that I can use to like, to attack this stuff. But I don't know. I don't know what happened, you know, whenever it was, a few weeks or months ago, but like just the enormity of it all. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know. It was big. And
see, I think I felt like that a long time ago. I think because I've been dealing with it for so long,
yeah,
I might be over that. And if anything, that's hope for you. If you can stick with this, if you can keep recognizing the patterns, keep trying to work your way out of it, I think at some point it's just going to be, mm-hmm, you know, you'll be all right. I can't imagine me being 60 and still popping Adderall, but I think I'm going to be.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you start looking down the road and it's like,
that just seems weird, but I don't care.
I know.
If it still helps.
Well, and then you get into the other thing of like, this is still a fairly new medication, you know? Like, is there anybody who's been on it for 30 years? And what is their life like, you know? Like,
I don't know about Adderall, but Ritalin's been around since like the 50s.
Yeah.
So I know that's pretty, you know, there's been studies about that and everything. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I lifted myself out of that fog. Mm-hmm. Between the meds and between my own whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. And now, again, I don't want to call it a gift exactly, but I feel like I'm above the fog. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am using the you know, the inertia of this, whatever you want to call it, to my advantage. Mm-hmm. I'm moving with it instead of against it.
Yeah.
And now I feel better than normal.
Yeah. And I think I still feel that I'm fighting against it, I guess. And so that's what I...
Yeah.
Sort of get buried under it is because it's just like, you know, you fight it all day and then you finally fall asleep. And then what do you have to look forward to the next day? Like, you get to fight it again. And then if you're real lucky, like, you're not doing that and the depression at the same time. Sometimes you are. And that's a whole little, you know, ball of joy.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
I guess just the, you know, it's not like, you know, other medical issues or disorders where like you have attacks, you know, and like, oh, I mm-hmm. had an attack today and it was a bad day, you know, like if we're going to think about it in that context, like I have an attack every day because my brain is like this every fucking day.
I don't look at it that way. I don't look like I'm
out sometimes. Yeah. Cause you've been doing it longer and you found a way to work with it and I haven't found that groove yet. And so I still feel like I'm fighting against it.
Well, but that's, if nothing else, I can't tell you how to do it because everyone's different and I don't know how I do it anyway.
Sure.
Like I could not quantify exactly what I do, but there is that hope. You're not going to feel like that way forever.
No,
and
you're going
to figure it out.
And honestly, like it, you know, my friend Brooke, who I talked about earlier, and then, you know, also you, like as jealous as I can be sometimes of like that, you know, that point that you get to, like, it's not all just like jealousy and saying, you know, fuck you guys for having better brains than me. Like there is an element of hope to it because
we got
like,
the same brain.
Yeah.
Is the thing as far as this goes. That's why these conversations work for us because we're both prone to the same shit.
Yeah. I'm just, I think I'm still,
you're a little further behind on the curve is all you know,
I'm still a before picture and you're a during or after, I think. So that's fine.
Yeah. It's there is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You won't be struggling forever.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
And that's if nothing else. You mentioned the side effects real quick. What do you go through with this? I think we talked about this before.
I get a little sweaty. That's actually less now. Mm-hmm. When I first started taking it, like I thought I was dying because I would, you know, I mean, I'm a big guy and I'm not in the best shape of my life. So I tend to, you know, sweat anyway. But I mean, I was like,
no, you could notice the difference.
Oh,
you know,
God,
what's normal for
I mean,
you.
I was just like, just from, you know, walking just across my apartment or, you know, or across the street or even with no exertion at all. Like I would just be just clammy and sweaty and everything else. I get incredibly dehydrated.
Where
like, I seriously just want to get one of those Camelback things and just wear it all the time because I just
If you watch the video of, and this isn't a plug, I promise.
That's fine.
Of the panel we did at Emerald City.
Yeah.
We are up on the stage for 40 minutes. I literally go through a gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only on the normal amount of meds. I think it's just because I was kind of pumped for the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I am just constantly downing water. It's mm-hmm. nuts.
Yeah. So now I'm one of those people that has to, like, you know, carry a bottle of water with me everywhere I go, which is, you know, fine, whatever. you know, a little, I get some hyperness, you know, and some like I said,
well, it is speed.
I get super, you know, super motor mouthy, you know, which is good and bad. Like, you know, I don't mind talking fast. I've always sort of, you know, thought fast. And so I don't,
yeah,
you know, I think that affects me more in that, like, I'm aware of it. And then I get, like I said, I get all in my own head about it. You know, like, am I talking too fast? Am I talking too fast? Am I talking too fast? Oh my God, I'm all fucked up. I'm all cracked out, you know?
Well, and for me doing podcasts and having to listen to my own voice two or three times.
Sure.
Has definitely helped me be more aware of
can
that.
Can we just run this thing at like half speed maybe so you can actually understand what I'm saying?
Oh, and when you read the side effects and it's like, you know, dry mouth, watering mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Narcolepsy, insomnia.
Right. Like,
what the pick one? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and actually like the insomnia, I mean, you know, again, it's speed. And so my sleep has been fucked for years. So, you know, I won't say this made it. You know, this is the first time I've had this problem, but like, it's very noticeable. And especially again, with like the extendeds, if I take them late in the day for some reason, or if I take, you know, if I take my immediates, later in the evening or whatever else, I mean, I'll go, you know, 24, 36 hours without sleeping sometimes. Not regularly, but like every once in a while, like I'll just be up and I'll be doing stuff. And then like, I'll realize I'm at that point of no return, you know, where it's like, well, I got to be up in 3 hours. So there's really no point going to sleep now. And then I'll just sort of like, you know, get through with my next day.
Right. You literally just made me yawn thinking about that.
I know it's not good. Like it's, you know, and I'm for the most part, a total waste that next day, but you know, it happens.
I have learned over the years, and Adderall's the same as Ritalin was, to not, like, I know where the point is.
Yeah.
I can't take it after 2 o'clock or I'm going to be fine.
Right. It's like not having that cup of coffee, you know, after five or six or, you know, whatever it is for a lot of people.
But the other thing is, I don't know if this is the meds or if it's just my thing. Mm-hmm. If I go a night or two with not sleeping well, I am just totally fucking useless the next day. Yeah. I can't focus no matter how many meds I take. I am fucking grouchy as hell.
Yeah.
It is not good. I got to get my sleep.
And I've been trying to get on, you know, I finally realized, like, A, I'm not, you know, fucking 22 anymore, so I can't stay up all night. And like, it is like the nights when I do get decent sleep for whatever reason, like I do feel, you know, a little bit better. So then in my head, I'm like, well, what if I do that for many days in a row? But I'm just a fucking night owl, you know, and I just always have been. And so I either got to find a job that's on a graveyard shift and just embrace it or like, you know, tackle myself into bed at a decent hour.
Right.
Cause I mean, my whole life I've gotten, I mean, not my whole life, but my whole adult life, I guess I get in around 5-6 hours a night on a good night, you know, and that's not like a scary small amount, but like there are nights, when it leans more towards, you know, 3.5 to 4 hours. You know?
I could not live like that. Even one night. Yeah. I couldn't live like that.
So now I've got this new sleep tracker app thing.
That's what you need, another app.
And I find, well, it just works while I sleep, so I don't really have to do a lot with it. But after a few days of recording data, it tells me I'm getting about 53% quality sleep. That doesn't sound very good to me. 53 is not a passing grade.
Well, I had the sleep apnea test a few years ago.
Yeah, which I think I should probably have because people have told me that I stop breathing while I sleep. So
yeah, I do too. And part of it is because I'm a little overweight. Part of it is because I have a sign, like a deviated septum, like a bunch of crap.
Right.
But they said I stopped. Completely stopped breathing in an eight hour shift of sleeping 37 times.
Jesus.
And then the thing said mild to moderate sleep apnea. Like, so if you have it bad, I can't even imagine.
You stopped breathing for 5 minutes. You should see the graph on this sleep thing that I have. Like,
doesn't even track your breathing, I bet. So I bet
it's just movement. It's basically like, I guess the idea is that when you're in a deep sleep, you're still, and when you're not, you're rolling around. And so you put you know, you put the phone on the bed, and the little sensor tells you when it's shaking around or not.
Right. So there might be other factors in addition to what that's measuring is the thing.
Well, for a while, I thought it was interesting that I was waking up around 2 a.m. I mean, nights that I went to sleep before 2 a.m. That I was like, you know, getting to a point of almost full awakeness every night at 2 a.m. And then I realized that's when they take the bottles out from the bar across the street. And it's so fucking loud that like that's probably just waking me up. So earplugs may solve half my problem.
I do the white noise thing. I turn up as loud as I can.
Yeah, I should try that too.
Sound of Rain. Haha, Seattle. But it works great. And like my wife snores sometimes, can't hear that.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on outside, can't hear that. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's one of those things. And I think you mentioned early, way, way earlier back when we started this conversation in 1984, something about like not planning for the future. And what was the other half of that? Not planning for the future and not learning from whatever past mistakes.
Those are supposed to be symptoms. Yes.
And so like, that's certainly a thing with me where like, I know that I should get more sleep. And then every night it's like 2:30 and I'm like, why am I still awake? Idiot. Just go to sleep, you know? So like there are all these things that like in a perfect world I would be doing, you know, like to better this situation.
Yeah.
And I just can't seem to do them or can't seem to do them for very long. Like apparently like diet has an effect on this whole thing too. And like, I barely scratched the surface of that because I eat like a fucking asshole half the time. So
yeah,
God forbid I make any changes to my idiot lifestyle.
I certainly make my own, you know, I certainly have not been eating well or going to the gym lately, but I go back and forth. Like I have times where I do okay. And I think that's probably an ADD thing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
It's like the starting and stopping thing. It's the starting a project and not finishing it. Only I start treating my body like I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give up on that project because, you know, cheese is delicious. And
cheese is delicious.
And sitting is way better than running.
If I could run and not just have all of the rest of me just, you know, jiggle like a fat guy because I'm a fat guy, I feel like I would maybe enjoy running more. But I can just feel everything moving. It's no good. It's bad. Mm. So basically what I'm saying is I need to lose some weight before I start losing some weight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Such an asshole. Me, not you. I mean, you too, but mostly context.
Too. No, I know that tone of voice. That is a total, like, why am I doing this to myself? And we're going to get off this call and you're going to go eat a bucket of chicken wings and go to sleep probably, right?
Yeah, I'll go to sleep in about 6 hours.
Right, exactly. And I'll, you know, I'll drink 10 sodas and eat all my fucking British candy.
How are you
not
diabetic? Oh, shit, are you diabetic? I'm sorry.
Not yet.
Sorry, Pete.
Yeah. Well, and that's what happened to our friend Pete is he drank cases and cases of Throwback and made himself diabetic.
Yeah.
And I keep that in the back of my head. I'm like, I need to.
I know, I do too. And like, it runs in my family.
And
it's like, I'm aware of all these things.
Yep.
Like, why am I not? I read this great thing from this guy. I just started following on Tumblr fairly recently. And he talked about how he, you know, he made some reference in a post to like losing 80 pounds. And somebody asked him in his little ask page, you know, how'd you lose 80 pounds? And he's like, I just decided to do it. And I decided to stop treating my body, you know, like an asshole. And mm-hmm. I realized that as much as I enjoyed those things, like, I didn't, like, I thought about how I felt, you know, like after mowing down an entire box of Reese's peanut butter cups or whatever. I just realized that like it just wasn't worth it. So
no,
I mean,
because
better man than I and more willpower than I have for sure. But
yeah, but he makes a good point. It feels great when you're doing it and then you feel ashamed.
Yeah. And
you should not be ashamed for eating.
I know. And like, and the only reason I buck against that is because like, I hate people who like, you know, post their fucking nothing tastes as good as skinny feels shit because, like, I don't know. I've never been skinny, and I'm sure it feels awesome, but, like, fucking cheeseburgers are delicious, okay? And that's just what it is,
so. No, I totally agree, but then, I don't know.
It's frustrating to know, and this is, you know, and I don't know if this is, you know, an ADD thing or not. It's frustrating to know that there are things that I could be doing to better my situation and I'm not doing them, you know?
Well, it's like I was just talking about in 1984 when we started,
sure.
Like you said. When I said I don't own a TV, I don't do this, I don't read, whatever, it could be just as easy for me to not eat red meat.
Yeah.
Like I could just tune that out. This mm-hmm. is bad for me. I need to focus. But for some reason, that's harder.
You said you did not have the severe loss of appetite with the meds?
Oh, Christ, no.
Oh, man.
Other way around, man.
Really?
Well,
interesting.
No, that's
you think
not
it's
true.
Just cuz you think it's just cuz it's the speed and you're burning hotter and you need more fuel or what?
I exaggerate. I don't have a bigger appetite.
Yeah, cuz I mean when I first started like I would go all day without eating and not because I was hyper focused on anything but just because I just like wasn't I don't know, I just wasn't super hungry and like I was just doing other things.
And you know, there's a reason that you know, Mother's Little Helper. There's a reason, like in the 60s,
right.
that women were taking speed to lose weight.
Well,
That's
I got a friend in Southern California who can't get her script filled sometimes because all the you know LA soccer
moms
all the LA
taking...
soccer moms are soaking up all the Adderall.
Right. Nice.
But I think I may have told this story on the Depression Cast. I'm not sure, but I went in after my first round of meds and I talked to the doc and she said any side effects and I said, well, you know, some dry mouth and. you know, I'm not, I already don't sleep much, but this certainly isn't helping. And I had a pretty severe loss of appetite. And she looks over me and sort of gives me like a, you know, an up and down, a head to toe, and says, "Oh, it's not the worst thing in the world." Thanks, doc.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nice bedside manner.
No, in fact, when my guy asked, this was probably two or three drinks ago, said, "Do you have, you know, loss of appetite?" And I said, "I fucking wish." I absolutely don't. I, you know,
yeah,
that would make it so much easier.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we need to wrap this up.
Do we? Okay. Oh my God.
Any final thoughts? Any?
Oh, so many thoughts.
Anything you definitely wanted to say before?
No,
we...
No, I think I got it all in. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about ADD too, is your brain's moving so fast that as soon as we hang up,
I will
like,
think
fuck,
of
I should have
700
said
more things. We'll do a footnote. We'll do an addendum.
That's why I brought notes.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard.
It is.
if you have someone in your life dealing with all this stuff, just, you know, you don't have to be all the time. You don't have to coddle them, but just, God damn, it's hard.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. Ask me.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can just spot them. I'm not a full ADD telepath, but I am like an ADD empath. I can totally say, here's one.
You have ADD DAR?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's terrible. It can be, this is my last thing, I swear, but this is something that sort of rattles around. This is one of my like half-written things that I never actually probably finished, but like, it can be an incredibly like lonely and isolating feeling. And so even when I'm, you know, even when I'm with other people, you know, or even when I'm out in the world and even when I'm having good days, it's like just, I just know that I'm just, it just feels, I just feel a little different, you know? And I don't mean that in like, I'm a special snowflake kind of way, but like, it can be very weird. It can be very hard to look around, you know, a room or look around to your coworkers or your friends or whatever else. And very much feel like they're normal and you're not, you know, like look how, like just look at you, like you had a project and there were five steps and you went through them in order and you got the thing done and like it's great, you know. And meanwhile, I'm over here like gluing pieces of wood to the side of my face because I just sort of wondered what that would look like, you know, half an hour ago. So now that's what I'm doing.
Did you get any pictures of that? Because that's did you build like a deck on your face?
You need some cover art? Is that what this is? Yes, I have a treehouse on top of my head that I built out of scraps of wood.
Nice.
But I don't know. I find it to be incredibly, you know.
It makes you self-conscious.
It makes me self-conscious, and it's just, it can be just very like lonely and very isolating. And that's and even when like the drugs at times will make me almost hyper-social. When I first started taking them, like I would go back and look at my, you know, I'd look at my tweets for the week. And I would be like, let's see, I had a peak at 2 p.m., I had a peak at 5 p.m. I mean, I could spot it, you know, because like I would just, I'd be replying, and I still do it sometimes, I'd be replying to stuff like mad, you know, I'd be posting 16 things here, like I'd be just sort of like reaching out in every direction. And even in that moment when I'm like reaching out and connecting with people, like I still just feel like, I don't know, like I'm on an island sometimes.
I understand, and I used to feel that way, and this sounds so fucking trite, but... It worked for me. I had this, I don't know if I call it an epiphany, but I had this realization not too long ago, a couple of years ago, maybe. I looked around, talking to people and looking at people, everybody's fucked up.
Yes.
Everybody in some way. You look at the normal person. And again, this sounds so, yeah, I've heard this in a movie a million times, who cares? But really, to actually internalize this, every person you look at that you think is normal has some fucking horrible fucked up problem. You would not believe how many people we know, and obviously I'm not going to out them.
Oh, come on, let's name names. No, I'm just kidding.
Who came to me, and I'm sure came to you, after we had our depression chat.
Yeah.
And said, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you? Really? Mm-hmm. And I had, I don't know, I mean, there were a lot of people because, you know, we got a little circle on our show. You got friends, I got friends. And because it's a topic that's sort of outside what we usually do, I think we got a lot of people's attention. But I had a lot of people saying, yeah, me too, or somebody in my life. And it just, a lot of people did not seem like the type. And then I realized there is no type. I realized everybody's got some kind of horrible, fucked up thing they're struggling with, just like we are. And that made me a lot less self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
And well, that's it. I mean, I don't have that envy anymore because you know what? I'm not dealing with whatever the fuck you're dealing with, obviously.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's not even envy. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, it's this.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I understand.
It's just a lonely feeling sometimes. I don't know.
That's the human condition, Ed. That's what we call that.
That's probably true.
The universe is vast. We are insignificant, and we die alone. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, I'm laughing so I don't cry.
The show was produced by me, Ron Algar-Watt, and featured Ed Casey. To learn more about Ed, follow him on Twitter, at Ed Casey, or check out his blog, barkdontlie.tumblr.com. To learn more about me, go to algar.com, A-L-G-A-R. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone needs to drive an automobile, even the very tall. This was the largest auto I could afford. Should I therefore be made the subject of fun?